In today's show, we're going to be talking about personal branding and why it's important for you and your teams to pay attention to personal branding if you aren't already. And so many people aren't. So why should you do it? What's the benefit to the organisation? And why do people not really want to do it? Well, here today to talk to us is Debbie Gilbert, and she's the CEO of Viva Business Group, which is a marketing and events agency. She runs some awards, the Best SME Awards, the Best Businesswomen Awards. She runs a marketing company and she's got networking groups. So she knows a lot about personal branding. She's seen it and done it. So let's listen to her in this upcoming interview. And I'm going to ask her a few questions about what personal branding is, about why it's important for us, whether we're an individual in an organization, whether we're looking for a new job, whether we don't want to move business at all, but it's just really important to do that. And if we're a leader, why we should be interested in, yes, personal branding for ourselves, but why also we should be interested in helping our teams to do the best they can at their own personal branding. So I ask all those questions and more, including why some of us absolutely hate doing it and want to avoid it like the plague. All of that gets discussed in this interview coming up. So I'd love to welcome Debbie Gilbert. Hello, Debbie. How are you? Lovely to see you.
I'm really well, Dee. Lovely to see you too.
I haven't seen you officially. I've seen you unofficially lots of times, but officially on a podcast since your last podcast where you interviewed me. So now I'm returning the I was going to say favour, but now I get to interview you, which is brilliant. Thank you.
In the spotlight.
Ah, the worm has turned. I don't know if you remember that TV show from a long time ago. So you're an expert on marketing and you run an events agency. You've got networking groups. You've got award companies. You've got all of these things that help people to really, I guess, shine their light and be able to show their businesses, show themselves. Is there something that got you into all that? Is there a reason why you're passionate about that kind of thing?
I'm passionate about it, but I fell into it by accident. I mean, it was a long, long time ago when I started running my own networking groups back in 2006, which is when we met.
But you can say the name of the networking group.
Well, it was Women on Top. Franchise, and you know, that was nearly 20 years ago. It'd be 20 years ago next year.
Wow.
And I've been to a few networking events before that and been a member, but the networking landscape over 20 years ago was very different to what it is today. So yes, I am very passionate about it, but it wasn't a conscious decision to run networking groups as a business. It was something that I thought would be good for my business. So it kind of evolved from there.
Great. So you were trying to kind of promote your business and that's how you got that idea and caught on from there. So we're talking today about personal branding. So not just about branding your business, but mostly about if you're maybe a small business owner, but largely at somebody in corporate, you've got a career, they might think, well, personal branding, what is it? And why does it help me? Is it something that just marketers talk about? Tell us a little bit about what personal branding is from an individual point of view, not just the business point of view. Yeah, from an individual point of view.
So personal branding is a term that is bandied around a lot now. And again, wasn't something that anybody talked about when I set my business up over 20 years ago. But I think with the advent of social media and the way that the spotlight can be put onto an individual, it became another business. You see all the time people talking about personal branding and people who are personal branding mentors. And I actually think as time's gone on that personal branding isn't just for business owners, it's for any professional. Mm-hmm. Because actually it's around showing what your professional identity is. And that doesn't matter if you've got a business or you work in a company. You know, it's the same rules apply. And it's really about showcasing what you stand for and what your values are and allowing people a window into your world. So that's how I see it very much, that it is your professional identity. And you can really leverage that in so many ways. to further your career or to further your business.
So it sounds like a good thing from an individual's point of view. What's the benefit to the organisation? So if it's an organisation listening here and they've got 20 people in their team, why do you think that a leader should be interested in their people understanding about personal branding and perhaps doing a bit of it?
Yeah, because fundamentally, this applies internally and externally. So as a company, you want the people in your business to be called upon to the speakers at maybe industry events, podcast guests, maybe even, you know, be a spokesperson on television, interviews for articles. So actually making sure that your team are aligned with the whole personal branding mission is really, really important. And everybody, to coin a phrase, should be singing from the same hymn sheet. So it's really important for an organization to think about this. And I think a lot of organizations don't consider this. And they don't put a lot of time and effort into it. And what I always find interesting when I'm at industry conferences or I'm reading articles about things, how interesting it is when you have a business that puts forward some of their employees to visit. And they start to become on the radar of the media, and the media want experts to talk to about topics. So I worked recently with an IT and security company last year. And we worked quite hard to push them out there and their teams. And they are getting invited onto stages now to talk about their expertise. And that wasn't happening before because they were largely unnoticed and under the radar until they started pushing themselves out there a bit more. So I think it's definitely really important.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm just thinking why some organisations, you can sort of tell maybe the growth mindset organisations that go, I really want to develop the people brands in my business because it will develop the business and it will develop the people. And then I can hear in my head already some organisations going, well, we don't want them to get too well known because then they might get, you know, poached by another company. Can you see that, that some people might see that as a threat, mightn't they? But yeah, so that's not really the way to view it, is it?
No, it's short-sighted, if anything. It really, I mean, whether somebody stays with your company or not is based on how you look after them and the opportunities they're presented with. And, you know, naturally people do change roles and they do leave businesses and go to work in other places. But, you know, what I've seen over the years, and I do a lot of work with companies on employee advocacy on LinkedIn, which is another topic for another day. But, you know, a lot of companies are quite frightened about their employees having polished LinkedIn profiles and being active on LinkedIn in case they get headhunted for another role. But actually, you need to take a step back from that and say, well, hang on a minute. Don't clients want to know that we have got the very best people working in our business, sharing the best ideas and the best thought leadership, rather than that they are locked away in a cupboard and nobody knows that they're there?
Yeah. And when you have a meeting with somebody these days, you just go on to LinkedIn to check them out because you want to see what they look like apart from anything else, right?
Yes.
So absolutely. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions that stop people maybe working on their personal brand in your experience?
So when I go in and I talk to CEOs about this and individuals when they're looking, you know, at their personal branding, they often think it's, oh, you know, it's a bit scary putting themselves out there, or that they feel people would perceive them as maybe being a bit arrogant and a bit boastful. That's another one we see a lot of. And I think this all comes back to confidence and mindset again, because actually, you know, we need to think beyond that. I think a lot of people feel uncomfortable putting themselves out there in the spotlight. And when I say to people, you know, you don't have to do a video and put it on YouTube every day or on Instagram or on LinkedIn. You know, if video isn't what you're comfortable with, well, what are you comfortable with? Are you comfortable writing articles? Are you comfortable writing a post? Or are you comfortable commenting on other people's posts and activities? So there are lots of ways you can become more visible without it feeling uncomfortable for you. And I think it's important to think about what is comfortable for you, because the problem is if you try and shoehorn people into doing something that they're not comfortable with, it won't actually come across as very authentic anyway.
No, no.
So I personally don't think it's arrogant to put yourself out there. I don't do a lot of videos myself. I do have a TikTok channel that I talk about business awards on. But aside from that, you won't see me doing a huge number of videos on other platforms because I'm not really a fan of doing video. That's just me. But I do, you know, spend a lot of time contributing to other people's posts and reading up what other people are talking about and trying to help them get more visibility. So I think it's about deciding where your comfort zone sits. And maybe you can get help from somebody like a coach to improve that comfort zone, because sometimes it's just that you lack confidence. And also, I think there's a fear, especially with social media, that people will say something unkind to you.
Mm-hmm.
They will, you know, put a comment that isn't very nice against what you've said and done. And a lot of people stop themselves doing things because of that. And, you know, you can always hide an unkind comment. You can delete unkind comments. You can block unkind comments. So there is always going to be that person that says or does something which isn't very nice. I'm not going to say that it's, you know, that anybody's infallible for that, because they're not. No. But it is quite few and far between on LinkedIn as a professional network. And I will talk probably more about LinkedIn with the conversation with you, because I think that's where, in the most part, LinkedIn is very professional and people don't tend to wade in with negativity and rude comments, because it affects their personal brand if they do that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So comments are all traceable very easily on LinkedIn. You can go to someone's profile and you can click on comments and you can see exactly whose posts they've commented on and what they've said. Now, I'm not saying that there's nobody on LinkedIn not posting unkind things, because there is. But you can't let things like that stop you from progressing. And somebody once said to me, Debbie Gilbert, you have the skin of a rhinoceros. And I think that's quite true, I do. And I have learned a thick skin in business, and that there will always be people who say and do unkind things, but you just have to shake it off and ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we go into too much about LinkedIn or videos, etc., I mean, that's all very external focused and brilliant to do. And actually, of course, you've got your podcast, even though it's maybe audio, not video, but you know, that's a newish channel for you. Well, I don't know, how long have you been doing that? A year now?
4 years?
4 years? You're joking. No. Oh dear, what happened there? That's so nice. Yikes. All right, so you know, you do a lot of that, but before, some people were absolutely going, there's no way I'm doing this. It involves talking to the press, being on a YouTube video or doing a podcast. There's no way I'm doing it. So before we go big, let's just go small for a moment, or smaller, but still vitally important, is your personal brand even within your organization. So let's say you never want to post on LinkedIn, you never want to do a video, blah, blah, blah. There's still this personal brand that you carry with you in an organization. Even if nobody outside the organization sees you, they will be saying, oh, Dee Clayton, she's blah, or Debbie Gilbert, she's blah. You have a personal brand, whether you like it or not. What we're saying is to be consciously aware of your brand and to kind of make sure that you communicate what you want to about your brand rather than everyone else decide what your brand is. Is that, I think that's what I see it as. Do you agree with that? How would you see, when you think about it, just sort of internally, smaller before we go bigger? What's your thoughts on that, Debbie?
Well, how you treat people in your organisation is what's going to shape what people think about you and how you deliver the work that you have to do. So it comes back down to, we've all heard these sayings, haven't we? Oh, you know, John in accounts, oh, he's not a very nice person. He shouts at people and, you know.
He's only takes credit for, someone else does the work. And sounds like takes credit for all of it, yeah.
Jane is always the one taking the credit for the project that she didn't actually do very much on. So I think you have to step back and think, often I think people bring to the workplace habits and behaviours that they had at school.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I've seen over the years, because, you know, I've had my own business for 27 years, but prior to that, I spent, you know, 10, 11 years, probably a bit longer than that, in the corporate world. So I've seen it from both sides. And I was often just observing things that were going on. And I'd sit there and think, gosh, this is so interesting. Because an office environment or a corporate environment is a bit like a zoo in my case. And there is actually a book out there.
I was going to say, is there already a book about
it? Yeah, there is. And a guy called Nigel, I can't remember his surname, but he wrote a book about it's a zoo in here or something. And he identified different animal types with the different personalities within the, yeah, an organization. And it made me laugh out loud when I read it because it was so true. And yeah, nothing much has changed now, yeah, to be honest. In fact, it's probably with the advent of you know, hybrid working, it's probably that kind of thing has changed it a little bit. But you know, you're stuck with these people Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 in the office, yeah, way. In a quite a contained environment. And what I used to see was behavior that I would have sort of seen at school. So you get kind of the office joker, you know, who's always playing pranks on people, doesn't really take his job too seriously. And of course, people like that are going to get passed over for promotion.
Yeah.
Who's going to promote the office jester? Nobody. Mm-hmm. However, you know, you've then got somebody else who's very ultra serious and very studious with their work and probably got very high grades in their exams or in their degree. But they're lacking in interpersonal skills. So again, they could get passed over for promotion purely because the personal brand they're giving off is somebody who's not a team player and isn't able to interact with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we have to pay attention to how we're coming across, and maybe how we were treated as children in our families has an impact on us as well. You know, where were you in the pecking order of your siblings? You know, how you, as I said, were perceived when you were at school. You know, I always had on my school report that I talked too much.
Yeah, never make a living out of that. Well, I'll show you. I have actually.
And I often wonder if I could just go and sit in a room with my teachers now, 40 years later from leaving school. I left school 41 years ago. And showed them what I'd achieved and what I'd done, whether they'd be quite shocked. And I think they probably would be. So I think when you're working in an organization, you have to sometimes think, do I need some help with how I'm coming across?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much support out there from coaches that you can glean support and advice from, and to work on your own personal development, which is part of your personal branding.
Yeah, yeah.
My thoughts on that.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, some of the stuff you were talking about is this kind of insights, discovery, personality styles, isn't it? I mean, I knew you were going deeper than that, but it sort of touches on those different color energies and what you're seen as and what you come across as. So that's one of the tools you can use to understand yourself a bit more. And then there's motivational maps, which understands how you're motivated and therefore what your behaviors, what you're energized by doing and what you enjoy doing. And that will come across as people see you as motivated, and by what you're motivated by, people understand that as well. And then, of course, as you said, the little mind monkeys that hold you back and maybe say negative stuff. So there's all sorts of tools you can use to think about your personal branding and what kind of things you might want to change. It's not about putting on a false face. It's about showing your best side, I suppose, rather than changing your personality. Showing your best bits in order to be seen in a good light, and which is probably more truthful than maybe they only see you if you're presenting, if you're not very good at presenting. I mean, I used to have this all the time with my clients, Debbie. They'd be brilliant at their work, but maybe they weren't good presenters, which is why they came to me maybe for presentation skills. But then they'd be the whole of their performance would be judged by this one presentation. And they go, well, because that's the only time the senior team saw them is when they did a presentation. So they say they're not very confident, they don't know their stuff, which is completely untrue, because if you took them out of that environment, they knew everything. So just thinking about that is a good thing. So let's say we wanted to do some practical things around improving our personal branding. We've talked about personal development, so you know what you're doing and why. I think also having a good why. Why do you want to do this? Is it about showing how you can help other people in the department, or to achieve the company vision, or because you want that next challenge in your job, or because you want people to recognize your work more, or you want your team to be seen more. So even if you don't really care about your own personal brand, your personal brand affects your team's vision, you know, visual, what's the word I want? But it affects how the team is seen, isn't it? What practical steps would you recommend people take?
So I think updating your LinkedIn is probably one of the most important things you can do. And maybe if you haven't asked people their views about you, maybe this is the time to ask those questions, which might seem a bit uncomfortable, but sometimes just going out for a drink with a couple of people that you work with and being quite open and honest and saying, you know, how do I come across? What do you think I could do to improve? I think it's quite important, because sometimes we don't do that enough, and we might get feedback from the person that we're reporting into, but peer feedback is also really important.
Mm.
And I think if you have worked with people along the way, people often don't realize they can ask for recommendations on LinkedIn from just someone they've worked with, not for, but worked with. There is a facility on the drop-down button to say, you know, I worked with this person. And actually, that can be quite useful to have that in a written form of feedback on LinkedIn, certainly if you are applying for other jobs as well. So, and I do think, you know, maybe do a bit of brainstorming around what topics are you passionate about? What topics do you feel you are an authority on? Mm. And certainly I go back to the security company we worked with last year. That was one of the exercises that we did with them. And actually it ended up that the team were quite enthused, because they realized they had a lot more knowledge than they even thought they had, and that there would be topics that people would be interested to understand and learn about. So I think sort of sitting down and doing a bit of a brain dump is really a useful exercise for anybody.
Yeah. You reminded me of one of my clients, actually, who's a partner in a very massive worldwide global software organization that you would know. And she hadn't thought about personal branding, and it, because she's, you know, it's not so likely that you're a woman in that position. So she's one of very few women that high up in the business. And what she then did is launch her LinkedIn profile, actually, because she wanted to share this thing that she was passionate about and to create a personal brand. She had no intention of moving jobs or anything, but it has done wonders, actually, for helping her to maintain motivation, because she's really passionate about that thing. And then she can also improve her standing within the business as well. So that was like a double whammy. So yeah, finding something you're passionate about is a really good idea. I was just going to say, you reminded me also when you were saying about getting feedback from a colleague. One of my colleagues asked around when she was setting up her LinkedIn profile. She said, what do you think my superpowers are? And so everybody, you know, her valued people gave her feedback on what her superpowers were. So that's in her LinkedIn profile as well.
So the other thing I was going to add is that we want to inspire the next generation into our industries, whatever they may be. And I think this is another method that you can use to inspire that next generation of people to come into your industry. So it stretches far and wide, all of this stuff. And, you know, fundamentally, you are showcasing your values and your strategic thinking. And I think that's really important.
Mm. And they will be, if they want to join your business, I know they might not use LinkedIn if they're younger, but they will go over to LinkedIn to have a look if they're looking for business, if they're looking for a job in your business. So that's a good way to attract good talent as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because students, I've done a lot of LinkedIn training with sixth formers, would you believe, and university students. And that most schools now recognize the power of LinkedIn for their students. Mm-hmm. I have a whole mini course for students that I deliver. Because, again, it comes back to their personal branding on LinkedIn. And I was given 20 students to work with only about 6-8 weeks ago. And they'd created their LinkedIn profiles prior to the training. And when I went and looked at the photographs, I was horrifying. I was like, no, you know, no baseball cap. No, none of this stuff. And some of them had just basically chopped up a, a holiday snap or put something which didn't really show them off in a very good light. So I start off with a whole conversation with them about you are your personal brand, and, you know, particularly with your Instagram accounts, hide them. You don't want prospective employers looking at you at Reading Festival, you know, shaking up a beer can and spraying it over everybody.
Depending unless you're going for depending which industry you're applying for, the baseball cap and the vest sounds might be very positive.
Probably strict exceptions to the rule. But, you know, and a lot of them hadn't really thought about this stuff. And it's very simple. And it also applies to professionals. So I worked with a sales team only, again, about 2 months ago. And, you know, there was about 8 guys in this sales team. They're all, I would say, between 25 and 30. And 2 of them had photographs of cartoon characters. So one had Peter Griffin, Family Guy, as their LinkedIn profile.
Right.
Another one had a picture of an ostrich.
Put your head in the sand.
Yeah, but I was just like, what? Weird. And they thought it was funny. And when we had a whole conversation about these photographs, you know, they were saying, oh, you know, well, I don't like these photographs where you're sat there in a suit and tie or whatever, you know, looking super smart. But fundamentally, if you're a client looking to do business with that company and that person, you know, are you going to be attracted to work with somebody who's got a photograph of Peter Griffin from Family Guy as their LinkedIn profile?
Hopefully they've changed it by now. Otherwise, we're all going to go and search for that if we can.
They have. But I found one the other day where somebody was using Peter Griffin from Family Guy. So he's obviously a popular one.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody suggested it on some website somewhere. Brilliant, Debbie. That's been really good talking about that. So they've got their small steps is to start with LinkedIn, really, is a good place to start. And or start with talking to your colleagues and doing some sort of audit as to where you think your strengths and weaknesses are. I think the internal, how you're perceived internally, can also be done by things like a 360 degree form, you know, feedback form. That's a very official way of doing it. But unofficially, you can kind of ask around and say, what areas do you think I need to improve? What are my superpowers? So there's lots of things people can do, either little steps or big steps. I think it can be a bit overwhelming. So you can have maybe even just, you know, allow yourself 5 minutes on LinkedIn, maybe put a timer on, because you can get sucked into a bit of a vortex, can't you? And your whole day's gone. You didn't realize.
Yeah. I think it's about looking at the priorities. And I mean, if you are being passed over for promotion at work, or you don't feel you are making progress with applying for jobs, or you are a business owner listening to this, who's you're not getting clients, then one of the things you could look at as a matter of urgency is your personal brand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's about prioritizing.
Yeah. And I was speaking to somebody about, you know, your company brand or your company logo versus your personal brand just the other day, actually. I think I was saying about this interview coming up, and they were saying how much more important your personal brand is now, because it's so much social media, so much about the person, and that is what carries through a lot, especially for smaller businesses or B2B who don't spend maybe lots of money on their brand. If you're Nike, then that's fine, isn't it? If you've got millions and billions to spend. But for those of us that don't have the ginormous marketing budgets, actually it is the personalities in the business that probably sell more, even in bigger businesses, because that's why if the CEO moves, often the client, if they can, moves, because they or the account manager moves, the client moves, because it wasn't your brand, it wasn't your product, it was the people or your team that they like to work with. So, you know, personal brand, I think, is getting more and more important, actually. So that's been a fascinating topic. We could do hours more, but we promised that the debrief show would just be a short little taster. The idea being that if you've enjoyed listening to Debbie talk about that and you want to know any more, you can get in touch with her, or you can just add some comments in and we can share some more information on it. But we wanted you to get a little taster so that you can go off and learn a bit more about it if you choose to. But just to kind of go, hey, listen, personal branding, is it going as well as you want for yourself, for your teams, or for your business? So thank you so much, Debbie. Is there any question before we go that I should have asked you but I haven't asked, or is there any point that's come to your head and you thought, I really wanted to share that, maybe about awards? I know you run some awards, so perhaps you just want a quick mention of your awards before we go.
Yeah, well, just awards generally. I run the Best Business Women Awards and the Best SME Awards, but there are awards out there for industry and for Employee of the Year as well, and leadership awards. So there's all kinds of things out there. So that's definitely worth, you know, investigating if you're looking to raise the bar further with your personal branding and get recognised for the work that you've done, because that can make an enormous difference.
Yeah, they definitely have to get over their monkeys for that, though. I can hear some people going, I couldn't enter an award. We've had that conversation on your show.
Yeah.
We should put the link in to your podcast into this show, shouldn't we? So that and what we talked about, I can't remember the exact title of that one. You might help me out there. But we did talk about why you might not want to enter an award, what's holding you back. So let's make sure we put the link to your podcast in there that we did, so that people, if they're thinking about putting other people in for an award, they could listen to that and understand more. And you were going to say something else as well, but that just popped in my head. What else were you going to say?
No, I was just going to mention about sort of other platforms, because obviously I've talked quite a lot about LinkedIn, but there are other platforms out there like Substack and Medium, where you can write thought leadership articles and get them published. And I'm a big fan of Substack, so check that out. And it can be a great way of you being able to share your thought leadership and your expertise. And I think that that's something that people don't often think about. And also, potentially, you know, you may have enough knowledge and expertise that you want to put into a book.
Mm.
Both you and I know the power of books, because we both published books. And I think that's another way of getting your personal branding out there.
Yeah, and industry magazines. I know you said about industry conferences earlier, but when you're sort of saying about books or articles, absolutely, a lot of industry magazines would like opinion pieces, right? So they don't just want facts necessarily. They love a good old opinion. So if you hold an opinion and you're very passionate about that stance, sometimes that can be great, because these media owners are always looking for good content and passionate content, aren't they? So, and then from those articles, that's when, if you want to, you can be asked to get on a podcast, or you might be asked to do the industry, you know, speech, or sit on these speaker panels. All of that is really good for profiling, but it all can come from one article. I mean, I'm sure, Debbie, you've had some of your speakers coming into some of your events just because you've read an article and then you've investigated them further, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I also think TEDx Talks is another medium worth investigating. Mm. All of these things are there, but I think you just got to pick something and do it well. And like you've just alluded, you do something and you do it well, and it's like a garden, it grows and it sprouts other opportunities right in front of your very eyes.
Mm. Thank you. That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Debbie. It's been lovely talking to you. Take care. And we'll see you at the next networking or awards.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
Thank you for joining Debbie and I on today's show. We really appreciate you being here. And if you want to find out more about Debbie Gilbert and all the brilliant work she does, then please do follow her LinkedIn profile, Debbie Gilbert. And her podcast that we mentioned is the Business Awards Show, a brilliant podcast all about entering business awards. And we mentioned one of the interviews I did with her is episode 150, Get the Award-Winning Mindset at D. Clayton, where I talk about why you might want to overcome your monkeys that stop you from promoting yourself, not just for an award, but for other things generally, which we hinted to in today's episode, but didn't quite get into. So if you want to follow up as to why you might really want to shine your personal brand, I'd recommend you go and listen to that podcast, because it's really relevant for personal brand, not just entering awards. So you can listen to that. And as a reminder, we're on podcast now. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, or any of your favorite podcasts. Follow the Debrief Show. We'd love to have you alongside us, or watch us on YouTube. Follow the channel, D. Clayton, and there's a playlist, the Debrief Show. So we'll see you there.